Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
If you're a guest with us here today, my name is Terry. It's a privilege of mine to be the pastor of this church and lead a fantastic staff. We have an awesome board here, a great set of leadership, and God is doing great things among us. So I want to just kind of remind you where we've been. We've been in a series for the past few weeks called Refuge. This has been a series that was designed to be practical in our approach to helping us with areas where I think commonly we all struggle, but the reality is we rarely talk about publicly. The things we've really worked at developing over the last few weeks have been areas in our life that I'd say all of us can say we struggle with, all of us have had questions about, but few of us are bold enough to ask those questions out loud. Few of us are bold enough to find those answers. So we've tried to really go into some deep waters. I encourage you today, I know Johnny is colorblind, so we're going to ask you to pull out this greenish color insert today. That is your place to take notes today. Grab a pencil, grab a pen, take one out of the friendship booklet if you need one, borrow one from a neighbor. You also have the opportunity to log in through YouVersion and follow along there with the scriptures we're going to be reading and a place even there to take some notes. So we encourage you to do that today. And even in the midst of having children with us and parents, we often get distracted when our kids are near us. And sometimes some of us adults struggle with a little bit of movement or activity. Let's not be distracted today by that, because God is going to just allow us to stay laser focused. And the beauty is, I'm not going to make any excuses about a little bit of motion today. All right? I love that our kids are with us, and kids do a fantastic job on family worship. But this is a great opportunity for us to be the family of God in this place. So let's continue to listen to His voice. So we began this series considering our doubts and questions. Anybody ever have doubts and questions about the Lord? Yeah, we all were there. We had a powerful testimony that day. We came to the place where we understood that God is very comfortable with our questions. The point is that we have to put ourselves in the position of getting those questions answered. We moved on from that point and we considered our grief and realized that healthy grieving is actually a pathway to living a much healthier life. And that in our grief, there are several promises that God has for us. So we have to turn to Him in the midst of that grief. And grief is not just about the loss of a loved one. Grief is about the loss of a job or loss of finances or the loss of innocence of our children or the loss of a relationship. And so we tried to define the idea of grief much more broader than we often do. Last week we then looked at and were confronted with our past, our shame, our guilt, the sin that often holds us back and binds us up. And we asked ourselves, how do we handle that past in our lives? And we came to the conclusion that honest confession to the Lord is the only way to break that bondage free. And so we challenged everybody this week to consider ways to experience confession. So today, as I want to bring this series to a close, and we're getting ready to start our next series next Sunday, we're going to look forward. The past 3 weeks, we've been kind of looking at our past, but this week we're going to look more forward, and we're going to ask ourselves, how do we discover meaning and purpose in our lives? How do we move forward in this way? I want to introduce you to someone named King Solomon. Some of you know of King Solomon, many of you don't. King Solomon was the son of David and became the king of Israel after David passed away. Now, David is thought to have been the greatest king that Israel ever had, and so Solomon had big shoes to fill. As he became king, God granted him one wish, and he chose out of that wish to be the wisest man that had ever lived. He chose wisdom over all the other things that God could have given him. And once he gained this wisdom, Scripture says that he became the wisest man that ever lived, and he wrote a book based on the pursuit of all of this wisdom that he tried to obtain. That book is called Ecclesiastes. Now, I want to give you just the Cliff Notes version of what he discovered. In chapter 1, what he says the purpose and meaning of life is, it's meaningless. Isn't that sound like a real page-turner? The introduction of the book says life is crazy meaningless. Let's read some of those words. Verse 2, everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. What do people get from their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises, the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south, then it turns north. Around it and around it goes, blowing circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. I've asked myself that question many times. Then the water returns again and to the rivers, and it flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Anybody else though? Man, that's truth. And that can leave you in a lot of despair. In all of Solomon's wisdom and knowledge, as he searched the world over that he knew, with all the wisdom that God granted him, this was his initial conclusion of what life was all about. And I'm telling you, if he wrote that book today, nobody would buy it. That'd be the preview chapter on Amazon. Read the first chapter and everybody would be like, I'm out. I already know that stuff, right? But he goes on. That's not where this book ends. In the very last chapter, verse 13, here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty. There is more to this life than the physical stuff that we see. You can hold out your hands right now and look at them. Mine are all chafed. I got some kind of skin disease. I don't know what's going on here. I got calluses in certain spots from my wedding ring or other things. You hold out your hand, you can kind of see a story of your life too. If all that we did was look at the physical stuff of our world, we would be left with a lot of questions or a conclusion like Solomon began this book with, that life is filled with a lot of meaningless behavior. But we have to look beyond, because it's in that chapter 12 that Solomon finally finds meaning and purpose that goes beyond the physical. It goes beyond what we can see. It goes beyond what we can purchase or what our desires are or what even we achieve in this world. It goes beyond our health. His conclusion goes beyond our wealth. And it even goes beyond our last name. Sometimes we put a lot of identity in that. There is deeper spiritual awareness when we connect with the Almighty God. That's where Solomon finally finds meaning and purpose in this life. Not in what we do, not in what we can see, not in what we can measure, but in something much deeper than that. You might be able to recognize some of these names I'm gonna mention just now. Some of you may not know them. That's okay. These are people that have been chronicled in the pages of Scripture. I wondered this week as I was thinking about this message, I wonder if Abram was evaluating life before God told him to pack up everything he knew and everything he belonged. I wonder if Abram was really wondering if there was more to this life. I wonder if Abram ever asked himself, I feel like more like an Abraham than an Abram. I wonder if Joseph ever wished that he had never had a dream, or if he had wished he never shared that dream with anybody else. Some of you know these stories. I wonder if Moses ever longed to do more with his life than to just watch sheep in Midian. I wonder if he ever caught himself out in the field wondering what it was like back in Egypt. I wonder if Elijah was content to live in obscurity. Elijah, a great prophet, kind of came out of nowhere, burst onto the scene, being very defiant toward the king. I wonder if Elijah was content to live in obscurity and worship God his own way. Did he ever fight the call of God to go kind of square off with King Ahab? I wonder when he spent the majority of his life on the run if he ever asked himself if he made the right decision. I could go on. I wonder if Naomi saw in Ruth just a daughter-in-law who was worthy of her son's love and affection, or if she saw something in Ruth that was more than that. I wonder if Samuel ever wished he didn't hear the Lord call out his name in his sleep and go running to Eli thinking that Eli was calling for him. Eli was the prophet of the day, the priest of the day, and not living for God quite well. I wonder if there was just this burning desire within Samuel to live with purity and righteousness, but he didn't know how to articulate it until God called his name. I wonder if David preferred herding sheep or singing songs. I wonder if David ever wondered if there was more to this life than fighting lions. I know Mary was young, but do you ever wonder if she felt inside, even at that young age, that God might want to use her to do something powerful? Do you ever stop and wonder if Mary, at a very, very young age, ever thought that she would be considered highly favored in front of all humanity? I wonder if Matthew liked his job at the IRS, collecting taxes, filing paperwork. Or as he sat at that booth, did he have a hollowness and an emptiness that Jesus spoke into? I wonder if Peter, Andrew, James, and John enjoyed fishing. I wonder if they ever caught themselves wondering those late nights if there was more to this life than the next day's catch. I wonder if Thomas's mother ever punished him for his lack of faith. I wonder if his father ever worried that his lack of passion or belief would cause him to someday walk away from his Jewish belief system. I wonder how sick James was of hearing about his older brother Jesus. I wonder if James ever thought to himself, could there ever be a day that I buy into this story that my mom has been telling me all of my life about my brother? I wonder if James ever thought, I could be a great leader too. These are stories of people that we've come to understand in Scripture for the greatness that they achieved, but we have to create a sense of humanity around them too. Because none of them are different than you. None of them. None of them are different than me. Not one of them. They all had to breathe air. Their hearts all had to pump blood. They all had to think and reason. They all had to experience God in this physical world and try to understand the spiritual workings that were taking on around it. So my question is, as we think about these great men and women of Scripture, what's the difference between them and us? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Some of them were very young kiddos when God began to speak to them. Too young that any adult should ever listen to them, and yet we listened because God was in them. You're never too young for God to speak to you. Some of them, God came to them at a very old age and said, I'm going to give you a lot of kids. Not one of you is wishing for that right now. But the point is, you're never too old to hear the voice of God and to see His promises fulfilled. See, I believe that with all of these people and with you and I, that we're called to a higher calling. We're called to a very high purpose and to a very meaningful existence. All of us, have been called to play a significant role in the kingdom of God. Now, I was thinking about you as I was writing this, and I know some of you, you build things. Some of you build cars and trucks. Some of you build houses and roads. Some of you build lots of little parts that goes in those things. I get that. Some of you mend things. You mend broken arms and tired legs and hurting hearts. Some of you protect things like citizens. Some of you protect the nations. Some of you fight and protect even endangered creatures. Some of you clean things like houses. That's not fun, but some of you do it. Some of you clean things like clothing. Some of you even clean teeth, and we thank you for that job. Some of you teach things, how to say words, how to add, how to subtract, how to do electronics, how to learn science, how to understand literature. Some of you teach just how to sit still. And that's a full-time job and exhausting. Some of you learn things, kiddos. Some of you learn things in classrooms. Some of you learn things in time out. Some of you learn things in the hard times of life. Some of you learn things at home. Some of you sell things. You work in stores. Some of you visit offices all day long. You sell products to make life easier or hopefully more bearable. Some of you make really good money. Some of you shape the next generation and don't make a lot of good money. Some of you travel all the time. Some of you rarely leave home. Some of you are just starting your adult life. Some of you have already begun the process of retiring and winding down, and many of us are still excited to get to color. We're all at different places. We're all at different stages. And in all of these occupations and in all of these different ways, I've tried to touch on every one of your lives and what you experience. In all of these ways, I still believe that you have a very high calling in your life, that you've been called to a very high purpose, and that God wants to give you very deep and purposeful meaning in your life. And why do I believe that? Why do I stand here today on this day and proclaim that? Because you were made in the image of the Almighty God. Every one of you. You were made in the very image of the Almighty God, and you were called to live your life according to His purposes. So I want you to turn to your neighbor, to your mom, your dad, your grandparents, someone sitting here. I want you to say this right now. I want you to look at them and say, I am good looking. I am good looking. You. Yes, you. Even you. Yes. Good looking. Why? Well, it's not because you're bald. And it's not because you just got back from coloring your hair. It's not because you're wearing a new shirt or you got brand new shoes. The reason why you can look at your neighbor today and say, I'm good looking, is because you were made in the image of the Almighty God. And He makes no mistakes. And He makes no one of no value. You are good looking. And you have a plan and a purpose that God is wanting to unfold in your life. I believe this with all of my heart. The Apostle Peter wrote a couple of open letters to the church. And he declared this to them, and I want to declare them to you today. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. For you are a chosen people. He wasn't writing this to a specific group. He was writing this to the entire church. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. I'm here to tell you, Peter was writing this to us in 2018 as much as he was writing it initially in around the year AD 80 or 90, somewhere in there. What Peter is telling us in these words is that the leadership of the church is no longer something that's just held with just a few. It's very easy for us in our day and age, even today, to say the leaders of our church are printed on the back of our bulletin, our staff and our board. No, the leadership of our church, the mission of our church is to be carried out through every one of us, because you are all a chosen people. You are all royal priests. You are all part of a holy nation. You are all God's very own chosen possession. The mission of the church is now resting in every hand that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you hear these words and believe this? Can you embrace this? You are chosen. Some of you don't feel worthy of that today. I know that. Maybe you need to just whisper that to yourself today. Make it personal. I am chosen. Maybe you need to make this personal. I am a royal priest. I am God's prized possession. This is what my first point of the day is. If you want to fill in blanks of your insert, here's number one. Our identity is found in the loving mercy of God. Our identity is found in the loving mercy of God. Young ladies, I want you to hear this. No boy shapes your identity. Girls, you got to listen to this. No boy shapes your identity. No body shape shapes your identity. You got to hear that. I want you to believe it. Young men, you need to maybe write this down. Your identity should not be found in what you do, in the amount of money you make, or the drink that is in your cup. Your identity is not found in such things that I consider to be shallow. Your identity is found in something much more than that. You are God's people, and He loves you dearly. Your identity is formed in your ability to connect back with Him, the only one who can redeem you, the only one who can give you new life. For some of you, you have wrestled this point a long time ago, and you know this. You are affirming this today in your heart. Some of you have wrestled this for a long time, and you're still trying to trust God with this. Some of you are hearing this for the very first time. You are God's chosen people. I want to challenge you today to surrender to Him. Peter says later in that same book, these words recorded in chapter 4, beginning of verse 2, "You won't spend the rest of your lives then chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God." That's a good word. Now down to verse 10. "God is giving each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen." Here's the second thing I want you to remember and write down today. Our purpose is found in the gifting of God. I don't even know if gifting is a word. I think it is. I looked it up on Google, seemed to confirm that it was. We don't use that word very often. I tried to find a better word. I couldn't. Our purpose is found in the gifting of God. Peter mentions here speaking and helping as two gifts, but Scripture talks about a lot of ways that God has given you, gifts that God has given you that He wants you to use. Administration, ministry, craftsmanship, discernment, evangelism, generosity, healing, hospitality, praying for others, leadership, servanthood, even speaking in other languages and wisdom. These are spiritual gifts recorded in Scripture. These gifts are not meant to prop you up so that you be worshipped. These are gifts that are meant to bring glory to God and how you use them. How has God gifted you? You have been given a special gift, and many of us, I just think, are not using them. We made a trip yesterday to Grand Rapids. I did not want to go. The main purpose of going was to do homecoming dress shopping. Dad, you with me? I brought the Grace's Greater book and a notepad. I was praying for soft chairs outside of changing rooms. I found them in one place. But the second reason we went to Grand Rapids was to go to Art Prize. Is anybody familiar with that festival that's down there? I had never been to Art Prize. We'd always wanted to go. That was not happening when we lived there. At least we weren't aware of it. It is absolutely astounding to me how much talent there is in this world. To walk those streets and see it in restaurants and just out in the street, the ability to create art the way that these men and women do is mind-blowing. We walked into the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum, and once you walk in there, an entire window is done with paint of butterflies. It's jaw-dropping, and then you turn a corner. How tall would you say that was? 10 feet, 12 feet high? A picture of Jesus. Just His face. No matter where you walk in that building, Jesus is looking at you. This artist was from Armenia, and it was an amazing thing. I was blown away by the sculptures made out of barbecue pits. You know what I mean? Like, stuff that we think is junk, people turn into art. And it was just all over that city. It was beautiful. And it just reminded me how untalented I am. I grew up in church, so that meant I grew up drawing, right? Like, church for me was like doodling on the bulletin. Thank God for bulletins, because that's the only way I got through it, kiddos. I was drawing all the time on my bulletin. I thought I was going to be an artist one day. I aspired to be an artist when I was in middle school. My brothers and sisters were looking at me like, this kid's lost his marbles. They were absolutely right. I'm terrible at it. The reality is God has given some people an amazing ability to see something and create it. It's a gift. It's a gift I don't have, but I certainly appreciate. You have many gifts that I don't have. Some of you can fix things and get into things and just understand how they operate. I don't understand that. So Some of you have the gift of seeing details. Some of you see the big picture. We are all uniquely gifted differently, and I'm challenging you today to ask yourself some questions. What passions do you have in life? What do you lay at home thinking about? If you could answer this question, if I didn't have to make money, what would I do with my day? Those are the kind of questions you can ask yourself to begin to discover God's gifting in you. But I'm here to tell you, every one of you have many gifts, and we desire to see you use them. Some of you have passion to help the needy. Some of you have a compassionate heart that will take you around the world. How has God gifted you? Where are your passions? Well, I'm going to do an entire sermon series on spiritual gifts, so let's just move on from here. What do we do with our identity and our purpose? How do we utilize our gifts in this life? Well, Paul told the Corinthian church this in verse 19 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. That is good news. And then He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we, these are powerful words, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin so that we would be made right with God through Christ. Our calling is found in the sending of God. God has sent every one of us to be His ambassadors, to be His representatives in your school, at your workplace, in the places you volunteer. You are called to be His ambassador everywhere you go. Remember that God does not call the equipped. You're sitting here saying right now, I don't have any ability to be God's ambassador. I'm telling you, God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Another way of saying this is God does not qualify or call the qualified, but rather He qualifies those whom He calls. There is not a single person hearing these words today, no matter your age, no matter how many times you've been here or how many times you have not been here, no matter where you'd put yourself today on the faith spectrum, there is not a single person in my hearing today that God cannot use. No one. You doubt yourself. I know because I do. You doubt yourself, but God never does. He does not doubt you. He made you. He redeemed you. He wants to lift you out. He wants to send you to do a good work. So we need to be people who are willing to learn His character. The church word for this is discipleship. But we need to be people who are willing to learn His character. We need to be people who are willing to live and model His ways. We need to be people who are willing to share His love. That's what God has called every one of us to do today. Our mission as a church can become quite personalized if we just change a single word. Our mission as a church starts with the word we, but I want to say it with I. And I hope that you would make this a personal mission in your own life. That this would become your mission as a follower of Jesus. I desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. We say this as a church, we desire. But we can only desire what we collectively, individually believe in. And I want you to believe our mission statement as a personal call in your own life, that it becomes personal for you, that you desire first and foremost to experience this love of God that is so intimate and so forgiving and so filled with grace, that you would embrace this and experience the transformation that takes place when we really believe it. When we start talking next Sunday about God's grace, we're going to understand this a little bit more as we begin to dive into what grace really is. Grace becomes much more beautiful when we see a better picture of our sin and what we truly deserve. But I want you to understand God's love for you is deep. And He calls us. He needs us to go out and to take this message to everyone that you have access to. Some of you have access to a lot of people. Some of you have access to very few. That's not up to you. What's up to you is, are you willing to take this message, this power of God, to those around you? This morning, as I was praying about this day and going over my notes and thinking about this message, I was really overwhelmed with this thought. We are the ones called to find and reclaim the lost sheep. We are. God is counting on us. We are the ones called to love each other and to rescue those in danger. Not in danger of physicalness, although that's important too, in danger of being lost for eternity. We are the ones called to bring healing to the broken and offer hope to the wanderers. We are the ones called to fish and to hunt with more zeal for souls than we do fish or deer or ducks. Now, I just lost a whole group of guys here. I didn't say you couldn't do that. I'm saying that we're called to be fishers of men and women, that our desire, our zeal would be stronger for that. Friends, this isn't popular, but we are ones who have been called to even suffer for the kingdom that will never fade, that will never perish. We are called to even suffer and to live for the Lord more than ourselves. There is no better way to live than to live in such a way that we invest our lives in eternity. Eternity. Not the next newest car, not the next biggest home we could buy, but to invest ourselves for eternity. Every one of us have been called to this purpose. Every one of us. So I have a question to ask you. I actually have several as we conclude our time together. Will you allow God to build your life around the meaning and purposes of God? Will you allow God to build your life around His loving mercy and the transformation, the holy changes that will come as a result of that? Will you allow God to build your life around the gifts that He has already placed in your life, that He desires for you to unleash on the world around you? Will you allow God to build your life around the calling, the passions that He has already placed inside of you, that He's confirming right now? Will you allow God to build your life on those foundations? Again, I don't care your age, how young you are, how old you are. Are you willing to allow God to build your life on these principles? I hope and pray that you are. Would you stand with me? The band is going to come and lead us in a final song, but I really just want to pray for us that we would respond to this calling in our life. Would you join me as I pray, just simply by closing your eyes? And not for any religious purpose other than just focusing on Him. Close your eyes in this moment. Just focus on the Lord just for a moment. Lord God, in our last few moments together in this day, it is my deepest prayer that some here would be willing to say, yes, Lord God, build my life on that. Some here today, God, have walked into this gymnasium echoing the words of Solomon, who have said, I don't even know why I'm here. This life is meaningless. Everything I do ends up being a train wreck. Why even bother? But I pray for us today that we would begin to see that life in this physical world is a struggle, but we do not live for this physical world. We live for something much greater than that, something much deeper than that. So I pray for the one who is dreading going to work today or tomorrow or sometime this week, saying, God, what is the point? Would you redeem their occupation so that they would see that there's a holy purpose even in what they do? Would you begin to open up their eyes to see that there is a relationship, a friend, a family member that you have placed strategically in their life so that they could share the good news of your love with them. Would you give us the strength this day to live a life that reflects and honors your character as we get to know you better, and that the world around us would see it and understand that there is something uniquely different within us because your Holy Spirit is driving us, not ourselves. God, I pray that we would respond in a way that you would call us to this day, that you would allow us the opportunity to build our lives on the foundation of your love and your mercy. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.